Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, it's the trillion rand engine that barely features in economic policy debates. I'm talking about South Africa's informal economy. Often dismissed as marginal or unregulated, it is in fact a thriving, complex marketplace, and it spans spaza shops, taxi routes, fast food outlets, and backroom rentals. Now, there's new data that suggests its true size could in fact exceed a trillion rand. What does that mean? Well, it would be larger than agriculture and mining combined. That is staggering. Yet this vast sector remains poorly understood, often undervalued. So what does it all mean for jobs, growth and economic inclusion? And maybe more importantly, how should government and big business be engaging with it? I want to talk now to Gigi Alcock, founder of Casinomics and also an expert in the informal economy. Gigi, it's nice to talk to you again, and thank you very much indeed. I want to start with that headline number, over a trillion rand. How did you arrive, or how has that valuation been derived as far as the informal economy is concerned? As I mentioned, it is an eye-wateringly large amount.
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah. So if we look at those figures, I can, you know, so the number of a trillion rand is an estimate. What I can account for from a range of sources is around about 750 billion. And that comes from different sources. So for argument's sake, the spaza sector, broadly spaza sector, is worth over 180 billion, according to Trade Intelligence, an agency that focuses on that sector. The taxi sector is worth 50 billion rand, according to Transaction Capital. According to the Department of Housing, there's more than a million backroom rentals or amaromi rented out. If you work that out at an average of between 2,000 to 3,000 rand rental per month, you're talking well in excess of 20 billion rand a year. Even the Muti sector, a seemingly tiny sector, the University of Pretoria did some research, I think, in 2019, saying that that sector was worth 18 billion rand a year across about 150,000 Muti traders. So there's a bunch of them that accumulates on actual figures that we have access to that works on 750 billion, and that excludes a huge number of other sectors, including bakeries, caterers, gassy mechanics, and other sectors, which are very large sectors that we don't have numbers for.
And Gigi, we ignore this at our peril, yet I would suggest to you that policymakers and maybe big business or more established formal business don't really grasp the scale and importance of this informal economy.
So this is what I've been saying for years about how important it is, and in fact, in many ways, it's the future of economic activity. I must say that though in the recent number of years, there's a growing number of people who accepting how big it is. Kheri Furi of Capitec, I've done work with the Capitec guys. He recently said that he believed that the next big sector is what they call the emerging economy or this informal economy. And he said in at a recent conference that he believed there could be potentially up to 20 million of these businesses that are bankable, that are currently unbanked through any form of business channel. So there's a growing, kind of look at the sector. People like Tiger Brands have recently announced that they are focusing on the spaza sector for distribution to grow their business and so on. So I think the sad thing is that it's not really appreciated in terms of its scale and the nature of that sector. And often it's just looked at in terms of how can we extract value from it and not how can we grow the sector as an economic engine? Because I think the real value of it lies in how we can boost that sector.
Let me pick you up on the Capitec example that you've just given me. How then, in your opinion, should banks and even fintechs be approaching the township market or the informal economy? What should they be doing, and where do you think they might be making their mistakes?
Sure. So, I mean, one of the simple ones is that, you know, there's a tendency to say this is an unbanked business sector, the informal business sector. And I say it is completely banked, but it's personally banked. People use their personal bank account for their business. So the vast proportion of these businesses are using a personal bank account. They're operating from a personal premises, in front of a house, a back room or a salon at the back of a township home and so on. And so what happens is that we tend to separate kind of business and personal, even in things like banking or insurance or other kind of products. And yet people are merging these, in essence, a bit like a gig worker or a home worker, where in essence, you know, you're not distinguishing between those. So products that we provide to people should actually look at this unique kind of home-based, residential-based, or personally-based. And generally, our products are either business or either personal, and they don't take into account how these businesses operate. The other thing is that a lot of the time, it's very expensive. So, for instance, if you have a card acceptance device and you tap on that device to make or you receive payment from that, it takes you 12 to 24 hours to see your money. And so, you know, for a very cash flow reliant business, they can't wait for 12 to 24 hours to get their money to go and restock. And so we would need to look at solutions that answer those specific pain points and problems that these businesses have.
Yet there would also be a sense that maybe this economy is also starting to shift away from cash.
There's a really big move away from cash towards card, as well as I believe I was involved in launching a product called PayShap, which is a instant mobile to mobile, account to account using a mobile platform for payment, which instantly appears in your account without that 12 to 24 hour delay. But what we're seeing is that the vast majority of people, particularly in the lowest economic levels, like social grant recipients, pensioners, and so on, have all transitioned from cash receipt of money at pension pay points to a debit card. And this has also driven the desire to pay by these cards. And we're seeing a number of fintechs, if you want, Kazang, Shop2Shop, Ikorka, and others who have devices that normally sold airtime and electricity, bus tickets, and so on through these devices have now added the ability to tap a card. And we've seen a very dramatic shift towards card payment at these informal outlets, whether it's a salon or a tavern or a spaza shop, where people are either tapping to pay for their groceries at a spaza shop or doing what they call cashback. So instead of standing at a two-hour queue at an ATM, or so on, they are taking a taxi to an ATM. They can walk down to their spaza shop, go to a Kazang or Shop2Shop or flash device, tap on it and get what they call cash back, so they can withdraw money in walking distance conveniently. So that debit card revolution, as it were, is moving people very rapidly away from cash. And in fact, a recent Reserve Bank study showed that cash is still larger in terms of numeric payments. So it's a small but lots of payments, and actually debit cards is now the larger portion in value terms of payments. And I think that that's going to accelerate, which also enables the sector, because now they're starting to receive transactions by card or payments by card. They're able to de-risk their business in terms of the issues of cash, but more importantly, have a transaction record that they can use to generate either short-term loans or whatever financial services they may require.
Let me ask you this question, and I'm trying to get my head around it. If the informal sector is so big, as you've explained to us, and so influential, why would it be overlooked in national economic planning and budget allocation?
I think primarily because, I mean, I get furious all the time at these stats about unemployment that show this high level of unemployment. And my argument is that a payslip is considered a job. And if you don't have a payslip and you're earning money informally, as it were, or from your own business, you're considered as unemployed. And we should actually have a different definition of what actually a job is. And it would rewrite what our unemployment figures are. They're substantially lower. But to your question directly, is that because we don't have the data, we don't have these numbers, decision makers, StatsSA, who have their own problems, as we've seen, and others, because they don't have this business case, these stats, they assume it doesn't exist. The business sector, however, is able to recognize that they may not have the stats, but they're seeing this turnover. As an example, the Vugile Property Fund, which has shopping centers in rural areas, townships, and urban areas, recently in their financial results, and they're a listed company, they showed that the growth of trading densities, as in turnover per square meter, at their rural shopping centers was around 4.5%. It was about 7% odd. At their township shopping centers was 14%, and at their urban shopping centers was only 4%. So we just see in that turnover triple the amount of turnover at a township shopping center than an urban shopping center. And you know, how is that possible if you don't have these incomes and these economies that are there? So I think we're seeing a large number of the business sector, particularly people focused on that space, whether they're shopping center owners like Exemplar and Vugile, or companies like Capitec and Time, or people like ShopRite and Pep, are increasingly refocusing their efforts at the space because they're recognizing and they're seeing it literally in footfall and turnover.
And that's where I am going to leave it. Gigi Alcock, thank you very much indeed. Founder of Kasi Economics or Kasinomics, a fascinating insight into this 1 trillion rand, possibly more, economy in South Africa. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.